Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to ASK Automotive Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Basudeb Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Basudeb.
Thanks, Manav. Good evening to all the participants. Thanks to the top management of ASK Automotive for giving us the opportunity to host the call. We have with us the top management represented by Mr. Kuldip Singh Rathee, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Aman Rathee, Whole-time Director, Mr. Naresh Kumar Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sanjeev Arora, SVP Financial Strategy and Head of Investor Relations. The updated presentation has been posted on the exchanges, so without wasting any time, handing over the call to Rathee. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Basudeb. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me an immense pleasure to welcome you all for our first post-IPO earnings conference call for the year ending 31st March 2024. I firmly believe we are in the midst of exciting times, both as a country and as an industry. As per SIAM, two-wheeler segment continued the recovery path with a growth of 10.3% in vehicle production in FY24. Rising demand from the urban sector and recovery in rural segment due to strong festive and wedding season enabled the overall automotive sales to grow by 9.2% year-on-year across all segments, as per SIAM report. The prospects of our economy continue to remain bright, with all macro indicators pointing towards growth of the automotive industry, which in turn provides opportunities for ASK. With the above-normal monsoon forecast by IMD, we are hopeful of a strong rural recovery to aid the performance of the two-wheeler segment in the coming financial year also. During the financial year 2024, ASK Automotive delivered robust performance across all product segments and recorded an impressive growth in revenue, earnings, and margins. This is the result of our concentrated focus on expanding value-added businesses, improving on the cost efficiencies, and driving towards excellence. Let me briefly talk about the consolidated financial performance of FY24. For FY24, I am excited to share that we have outperformed industry growth and delivered robust performance with 17% revenue growth, 26% EBITDA growth, and 41% PAT growth. In Q4 FY24, we delivered a strong performance and recorded a consolidated total income of rupees 786 crore with 38% YOY growth. Our total consolidated income for full year FY24 stands at rupees 3,005 crore with growth of 17% year-on-year. Our all three product segments performed well in FY24 in terms of revenue growth. We have sustained market leadership position in the advanced braking system. Our advanced braking system revenue grew by 23% in Q4 and 7% in FY24 on year-on-year basis. The aluminum lightweighting precision solutions revenue grew by 73% in Q4 and 29% in FY24 on year-on-year basis. The safety control cable revenue also recorded growth of 32% in Q4 and 36% in FY24 year-on-year basis. In line with our business growth strategy, we have strengthened our position in the EV segment and recorded revenue of rupees 120 crore in FY24 with 133% YoY. We have also significantly expanded our export business and delivered revenue of rupees 147 crore in FY24 with 58% YoY growth. As expressed in the previous interactions, I am delighted to share that we have achieved double-digit EBITDA margins at 10.9% in Q4 and 10.4% in FY24 compared to 9.6% in last year. We are confident to improve the margins further. Improvement in margins during FY24 were mainly driven by better economies of scale, improved volumes, better product mix with the customers, and continued focus on cost optimization. Our EBITDA for Q4 stands at rupees 86 crore with 71% YoY growth and 311 crore in FY24 with 26% YoY growth. We have achieved a PAT of 48 crore in Q4 FY24 with 112% YoY growth. This includes one-time deferred tax gain of rupees 3.5 crore recognized in ASK Automobiles Private Limited, which is the wholly owned subsidiary of ASK Automotive Limited. Our FY24 PAT stands at 174 crore with 41% YoY growth. We have turned around ASK Fras-le joint venture for our CV business in FY24, in which we have 49% share. Our share of profit in JV improved from losses of 6 crore in FY23 to profit of 16.5 crore in FY24. This includes the one-time deferred tax gain of rupees 6.8 crore. As a result, the EPS has increased from rupees 6.2 in FY23 to 8.8 in FY24. We have delivered strong returns in FY24 with ROAC at 23.6% and ROE at 23.7%. We have also improved our debt profile with debt to equity reducing to 0.42 against 0.49 in last year. Our average debt to EBITDA is at a reasonable level of 1.06 in FY24. The total debt for the company stands at 342 crore as on 31st March 2024. Our CapEx spent for the year was rupees 285 crore, mainly to build capacities for future business growth opportunities. Delighted to announce that considering our good performance delivered in FY24, the board has recommended dividend of 50%, that is rupees 1 per equity share of face value of rupees 2 each. I would now like to give you updates on the recent CapEx and on the new key initiatives undertaken during the year for our future growth. As a CapEx update, we have invested rupees 380 crore up to March 31st, 2024, to set up our large manufacturing facility in Karoli, Rajasthan, to cater to upcoming demand of our customers. The commercial operations of the plant have already started and expected to be generating cash profits from Q1 of FY25. This will cover our revenue growth of the next 1 to 1.5 years. We also plan to invest rupees 200 crores for setting up a new manufacturing facility in Bengaluru, Karnataka, to cater to the OEMs established in the southern India. The plant is expected to be operational by Q4 FY25. This will be our 18th manufacturing facility and the third one in South India. Key new initiatives. We have ventured into a new strategic partnership for HPDC alloy wheels for two-wheeler with technical assistance from LiHo Machine Works Limited, Taiwan. Currently, the alloy wheels are produced in India using gravity die cast technology. We'll have the first mover advantage to produce the alloy wheels using HPDC technology if this gets accepted and established with two-wheeler OEMs in India. This is a new technology and being tested with the leading company of Taiwan, that is LiHo, which has successfully used this technology overseas. HPDC alloy wheels are lower in weight, resulting in better fuel efficiency. The progress in this segment will be known in Q4 of FY25. In April 24, we have signed a strategic joint venture agreement with Aisin Group. As you all are aware, Aisin is ranked amongst the top 10 global Tier 1 automotive suppliers of the world. This is joint venture is to market and sell auto components in independent aftermarket for passenger car products. We are working on the formation of the joint venture company with 51% our stake. In the PV segment, Aisin has a wide range of product basket, and this will complement us as ASK has established a network of dealers, big network, large network of dealers in independent aftermarket of India. The business plan is being formalized jointly with Aisin. As the ESG initiative, since we are as a part of our ESG initiative and transition towards renewable energy, a solar power plant of 9.9 megawatt is being set up in Sirsa, Haryana for our captive consumption with an investment of around rupees 48 crores. This plant is expected to get commissioned soon. Going forward, our revenue will keep expanding in the aluminium and safety control cable segments as evident from the current year results. Being the market leader in advanced braking system, the business from this vertical is expected to grow in line with the industry growth only. With light weighting and thermal management being the focus area of domestic and global OEMs, ASK is aggressively looking to utilize its aluminium casting expertise to expand business footprints both in India and globally. The newly added capacities in Karoli, Rajasthan, and an upcoming new facility in southern India, Karnataka, will help us scale up the growth. With continued growth momentum in the auto ancillary sector, we are confident of our ability to outperform the industry and better our margins and return ratios in FY25. We are committed to keep contributing towards the value creation of our stakeholders through innovation and conscious expansion. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. With this, we leave the floor open for
Q&A. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to the team and everyone present. Am I clear and audible?
Yes, please.
Thanks. So my question is with respect to your die casting division, which is called as ALP. I just wanted to understand which are the processes within die casting that you are doing currently, and by processes I mean like there could be light pressure, high pressure, gravity, sand, etc. So which are the ones that we are doing currently, and also if you could highlight in your die casting revenue, how much is the mix from machining? Like for example, machining revenue as a percentage of total die casting revenue.
So currently, in our portfolio of aluminium products, we are doing high pressure die casting. So we don't do the low pressure die casting or gravity die casting. High pressure die casting is what we specialize in. Regarding the machining value addition, it is constantly our endeavor to do all the value addition in the product. So most of our products are machined products and also requires further value addition in terms of leak testing, in terms of assembly, and also sometimes the painting.
Got it, sir. So, that point is clear. Secondly, how much of your die casting revenue currently would be from two-wheelers?
So except for around one, I don't, not the exact, going into the exact figures, but around 120 crores of revenue comes from the tier ones, where we supply to the tier ones like Denso and others, and then they supply to the passenger car. Except for that, and some of the export requirements where we supply to non-automotive segments also. Except for that, the rest comes from the two-wheeler segment.
Perfect. And sir, when I talk about the die-casting business, along with, like you said, you know, machining and value addition, on a blended basis, in case you are able to reveal, what could be the EBITDA margins that a business can clock within this segment?
So within the segment, it's very similar. I can say that the aluminium is slightly less than the other segments, whether it is the friction or the other. But yes, because of our better product mix and more revenue coming from exports and other places, the mix is becoming very similar and the EBITDA margin is also looking very similar.
Got it. If I got you correctly, it's slightly dilutive, but if you reach the level of value addition that you're striving, that you target, then probably the margins would settle at your company level. Is that what you're saying?
Very right.
Got it. Last question for me. If I think about the two-wheeler industry, obviously it's not hit the peak of 2019. Obviously recently there have been signs of growth. But then there is a debate whether that is sustainable or not, whether the growth is because of elections or not. And I was just attending another channel check call where one dealer was saying ki April growth of 30% in wholesale is there, but May, June, at least in May, the secondary is not that good, right? So given you are largely a two-wheeler rank and you speak to multiple OEMs, I think you will be the best person to ask this question. How much growth do you think, high confidence or high conviction growth that can come in two-wheeler industry volumes?
So basically, as you rightly said, that the 18-19 levels have still not been achieved. However, post the H1, we have seen good growth in the two-wheeler segment. Also, in the coming months also, there is a quite upbeat in terms of the growth. And since they have not reached the 2018 level, so all the OEMs are very optimistic that this year will go okay. We are expecting a growth of at least 8%-9% in the two-wheeler segment in this financial year.
Got it, sir. Good. I have one more question, but should I get back to the queue or should I ask?
Sir, this is a non-data question. I've heard this
from multiple ancillary companies, like everyone is striving to outperform, you know, the end client industry in auto. And especially, and coupled with this, there is the narrative of the lightweighting, right? Which is both for cars and bikes as well. I'm just trying to think, when you speak about outperformance, theoretically, I can think of 2 to 3 things where it might come from, right? Number one, it could be ki there is a part, obviously new parts are not coming into the bike, right? The part remains, there always used to be a part, probably steel or some other alloy is being converted to aluminium. That could be one source of outperformance. Number two, could be ki you're taking away, you're winning a new client or you're taking away shares from a competitor. Or it could be that, for example, cylinder head could be a part where OEMs used to do it in-house and now they're outsourcing to vendors, right? There could be like 2 to 3 such factors. Which is the dominant factor that is driving outperformance for you out of these? I understand these three would have a role to play, but could you pick out one?
So, as you rightly said, in the industry growth, whether it was the Q2 or the annual, like if you see the annual industry growth was 10.3% and we have done 17% revenue increase. So that 7% has basically come, as you rightly said, it comes from our existing customers also, where there is lightweighting, heat management, and good part is aluminium being a light metal and a lot of focus even in EV for the lightweighting increases the potential content per vehicle. Also, we are seeing new customers. We are seeing new markets, new territories. So exports is another factor which is playing a good role there. So these are some of the factors which you rightly said that it's new products and also the new customers.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot, and I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sarvesh Arora from Summer Wealth. Please go ahead. Mr. Sarvesh?
No, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead with the questions.
So if you could please provide some guidance on the expected revenue for FY25.
As we have already maintained that we'll definitely outgrow the industry, and as I mentioned, we expect the industry to grow 8% to 9%. So we are definitely growing in the double digits.
And do we believe that our margins are sustainable?
Yes, because now the Karoli plant, you know, which was very functioning partially, now it is functioning very well in this Q1, and this is going to give us a lot of economies of scale, and we are confident that we'll be improving our margins by 100 basis points.
Okay, sir. What are the factors that contributed to the top line and bottom line growth in Q4 FY24?
You see, last year there was the volumes were very low because of the OBD2 norms, you know, of the government. So the production of the two-wheeler was the worst possible. So that's how you see a substantial growth in the Q4, you know. That's one of the main reasons. But as you see, overall, in the FY24, we have performed quite well. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Naveen Kumar Dubey from Narnolia Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations on the strong set of numbers on all fronts. My question is related to the, you know, aluminum lightweighting product segment. And so what kind of market size do you see there? Because we are seeing a strong growth there. So, and industry trend reflecting that we are going towards the lightweighting of the, you know, vehicle. So how do you see the market size there?
The industry is growing at about 7 to 8% as per different sources, you know. Aluminium content, especially in the EV, is increasing by 30 to 50%. And the same is true, more and more demand from the exports. So we see a significant growth in this particular segment of light, because of lightweighting and heat management. And as in, even in the passenger cars, more and more electronics is being introduced. So more and more, because of the heat dissipation qualities of aluminium, there is more and more requirement and more consumption of aluminium in the cars, you know, in cars.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, one question regarding to your, the CapEx that you have done in last 2 years, actually, that close to around 600 crores. So what kind of revenue potential that we see in next 3 to 4 years from there?
See, in aluminium side, our asset to turnover ratio is 2:1. So in fact, as you rightly said, about 600 crore expansion investment we have done. So 380 we have done, 200 we are in the process of doing, you know, in this year. So this will cater to our growth of 1,200 crores, you know.
Okay, 2 times.
So basically, after doing this 200 crores in the south, will be sorted out for the next financial year also.
Okay, perfect. Sir, one more question related to the non-current investment that has increased from 4 crore to 21 crores. So what kind of investment that we made?
Hi, this is Sanjeev Arora, Head of Investor Relations. This is mainly on account of increase in profitability from our joint venture business. As you have seen, and Mr. Rathi commented that last year we turned around the joint venture business, which was having a 6 crore loss last year, and it has moved to profit of 16 crore. So net of tax profit has got added to the balance of non-current assets.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Janice Cheda from Spark PWM. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on good on a good set of numbers. My question is relating to a bit of long-term period, maybe next 3 to 5 years. Is it possible for us to reach the historical margin peak of say 12 to 13% in over the next 2 to 3 years as we sweat our assets more?
Yeah, historically we have always been around 12%, so sometimes plus, sometimes minus, and I think we'll be reaching. We are confident of reaching there as we utilize our capacities, you know, continuously, which we have started utilizing from this quarter.
And after the Bangalore and the Rajasthan plant, is there any new plant or a greenfield expansion that is there in the discussion?
Yes, yes. Next part, no?
Can you please repeat your question, Jane?
After the Rajasthan and the Bangalore plant, is there any new greenfield expansion that is there in our discussion?
So hi, this is Aman.
As we mentioned that the Karoli plant as well as the Bangalore plant will take care of our next 1.5 to 2 years of growth. So as of now, there is no, but yes, that will be our endeavor to keep looking for space, and it has been our philosophy to be ready for the growth much ahead.
And one last question on the borrowings bit. How do we see borrowings for next couple of years moving?
See, borrowings, we are very, very conscious of the debt part because our internal accruals are also very, very strong. We are a cash generating company for the last 30 years. And so we keep a very judicious balance of debt. And general philosophy of the company is to keep the debt around 1 year of EBITDA level.
Any possibility of this to come down?
It will come down.
Will be investing the incremental cash flow that is generated from the business into expansion, or it will go towards debt repayment?
No. We are very conscious that if we invest 300 crores and if we use partially our cash generation, so we don't take that much debt. So that's what I am saying. We are consciously, we don't like we like to keep it around 1 year of EBITDA numbers.
Understood. Thank you so much. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. And as you see, our debt equity is also very, very healthy. You know, it's only 0.42.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Basudev Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Congrats for the set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. One is a few months back when we were discussing that passenger vehicle aluminium casting exports size, you are expecting to reach 300 crore in few years time from sub 100 crore level. So currently where we are, like from a quarterly rate perspective, and how one should look at it panning out in fiscal 25-26, and what kind of orders specifically you'd like to highlight?
Now, Mr. Basu, what we were discussing, and we told you these are the octave orders that we are negotiating, and we are very likely to get. We are in advanced stage, but that cycle starts from 27-28, and for the next 6 years, you know, they are very big orders, but for 6 years, but the cycle starts 27-28 only.
Second question, sir, as you mentioned on the JV for the passenger vehicle segment, so what kind of quantum of investment you are envisaging through that JV down the line?
I think it will be a joint venture for the independent aftermarket, and with our a large setup in the aftermarket, there will not be very, very huge investments involved in this, because it's more of a trading company for the quality parts manufactured by ASK and ICIN both, you know. And so I think it's more a distribution setup. And we would like to take advantage of the big, huge market of not only India, but the ASEAN nearby countries.
In addition to that, we'll be doing an equity infusion of about 11 crores as a stake is 51.
Sure. And last question from my side, sir, in your initial comments, as you said that from current 11% margin, you look forward to 100 basis points
improvement as Karoli plant scales up. So that fiscal incentive from Karoli will be on and above that, or you are including it in that 100 basis points? How to look at that?
No, first of all, we achieved 10.4, and we said 100 basis points from 10.4. So we have forecasted 11.5. And the fiscal incentive or the GST credit, we have taken only partial because it has not yet started, and it will start. It may start from sometimes in November or so this year. So it may be 5 months this year.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from a line of Janish Chheda from Spark PWM. Please go ahead.
Hi. Do you share the order book in any form in the investor presentation or anywhere, that what is the current order book and the breakup of the same?
Our order book is very much linked to the production done by our OEMs. And as you know that we supply to each and every two-wheeler OEM in the country. So whatever production they do, and that's what I said, that this year, because we have not even reached the pre-COVID level, we expect a healthy 8%-9% growth of the OEMs. So our orders are for all our parts are full. And as we are very confident, we can see a double-digit growth for our own self.
But anything in terms of export, any orders, long-term orders, something in the exports front?
Yes, exports we are doing pretty well, but sometimes, you know, there is a strain in the European market, as happened last year, sometimes in the U.S. market, some recession kind of situation there. But overall, I think we see a good growth path in export side.
And our working capital cycle has come down drastically, which is obviously a good sign. But what will be a steady-state working capital cycle for us? And a breakup in terms of how much will it be in export and how much for domestic?
Additionally, our working capital has been 27 to 28 days, you know, as you must have seen in the past. So only because in the last quarter, Q4 of the last year, they were because of, as I said, OBD2 norms came and the production was very less, so payables were very less. So in this particular year, in the Q4, it has come down substantially to 17 days, but I think it will go towards the historical levels of 27, 28 days, which again is one of the best in the class.
Definitely. I mean, though these are one of the best numbers, no doubt about it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jain. Thank you so much.
And any dividend policy, if you can share, do we have any dividend policy as such?
Yes, we have a very, very esteemed board of directors, and we are always looking after the shareholders' interests and creating value for them. And as for that, I think the board will always take a suitable action.
And what are the CapEx plan for next 2 years?
See, as I said, this year we'll invest 200 crores in Bangalore. That will take care of our revenues of FY26. But the next year also, again, I think we'll be spending something like 300 crores because we get prepared 1 year before only for the next year revenues. Because we are very optimistic on the growth of the company.
Thank you so much. That helps.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Kunal Ochiramani from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, peak margins, EBITDA margins, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to use your handset to ask the question?
Sir, peak margins, operating margins were 13% in 2019-2020. When do we expect to come back to the same margin levels. Second of all,
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kunal. Your voice is quite breaking.
You are not audible, yeah.
We are unable to hear you.
Not audible now?
It's breaking.
Am I clear now?
Yeah. Please go ahead with the questions now.
So your peak operating margins were 13%. When do we expect them to come back at 13% or higher levels? And if an investor wants to invest in your company for next 5 to 10 years, what would be the growth journey you would say in terms of CapEx, asset turnover ratio and ROE?
See, we have one of the best ROEs and ROC in our automobile component segment, you know. Historically, we have the ROC of 25%, which is one of the best. And this year also, we have achieved 23.6%. And I'm confident that next year we'll be touching around 25%, you know. So we'll be doing it better. So with that kind of judicious efficiencies on the capital employed, you know, I see and outgrowing the industry year after year, which so you can calculate yourself where we'll reach in 5 years or 10 years.
The new capex you are doing, what will be the asset turnover ratio of the same?
Asset turnover ratio, I told you, 2x.
And how much time will it take for the full capacity utilization?
Oh, Karoli will utilize within 1.5 years completely.
That means in first year, how much it will be? 60-70% can I assume?
Yeah, 60%. We'll reach definitely 60% this year.
And what is the peak utilization of such plants? Is it 80-85 or it can go up to 95?
It depends, but normally I think 80% is good enough.
80% is good. Fair enough. And sir, about margins, I asked a question.
See, as because now we have margins with the economies of scale will keep on getting better and better. That's what I can say. You know, as you see now, the improvement has started, and we are promising 1,500 basis point better margins. So this is a trend that we would like slowly to continue towards our traditional historic margins.
Thank you so much, sir. Looking forward to visit your new plant.
Most welcome, anytime. And we'll also keep an investor research analyst visit to the new plant. We would love that sometimes let the weather improve in Delhi. Mm-hmm. So maybe some August, September or October, whatever suits, you know, we'll plan it.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Amar Khan Gaur from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a healthy set of numbers, sir. I have a couple of questions. First one is on the two-wheeler EV side. While you have a fair share of business with the new-age two-wheeler EV OEMs, your larger set of your customers are still not present in that segment. So if you can shed some light on what are your expectations from those customers in that segment and any timeline for the same, if you can share.
See, this segment has been, because there is a price differential and it's a very cost competitive sector, so it is quite dependent on the FAME II subsidies which the government reduced, I think. But having said that, I would say that all the established players are also evaluating and seeing how the price differential can be reduced with the ICE engine vehicles. And probably they'll take a call as per that.
Okay, so no definite timeline as of now you have in mind?
They have not informed us because we are supplying to each and everyone.
All right, that's great to know. The other one was on the alloy wheel business, which you talked about your technology tie-up with LiHo, and that was basically for HPDC, if I got it right. Is that so?
Yes.
So pardon my ignorance, but the alloy wheels now are being made in GDC and LPDC?
It is made in GDC at the moment.
Okay.
See, this is the, what is your question?
Yeah, so my question is, how will this progress of these orders, eventually when you get them, how will it work? I mean, you will have to prove the product, etc. There will be probably a time to market. So by when can you, by some degree of certainty, can you tell that these products will come into the market?
See, as I said, that our collaborator from Taiwan is a leading player in Taiwan, and he is supplying to the best two-wheeler in Taiwan, that is Gogoro, So
okay.
It is a proven product by him. So with that kind of technological backup, we'll be bringing the product and testing on the Indian roads along with our OEMs, already OEMs. And so as per the results of these, I think some results will be out definitely by Q1 of next year.
Okay. So you indicated that with HPDC, the weight would be lower.
Yes.
In terms of operations and all, would it be, maybe cheaper to manufacture or more cost-effective, maybe more margin accretive? How do you see the financial performance of this?
Because of the lightweighting and because of the HPDC process, if it succeeds, then there will be a better productivity, slight reduction in the cost, and smoother supplies to the customers. And even in the EV, where, as I said, the lithium consumption of the battery is related to the weight of the vehicle, I feel it will be very much appreciated. That's our confidence.
Okay. Thank you. And just a final thing on if you can indicate what kind of content per vehicle currently based on the product that you have right now versus the products that are in the making and you will be introducing in the next couple of years, how much can your content per vehicle improve by post that?
Well, we can't quantify it at the moment because it will all depend on the success of the new products, but we endeavor is to continuously go for new technologies backed up by the world-class players and improve the content per vehicle and also add to the number of customers. And that's how, because that's the only way you can outgrow the market.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for taking my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Janish Sheda from Spark PWM. Please go ahead.
So, one last question from mine. What will be the revenue from top three customers for FY24?
Oh, sorry, can you repeat the question?
What will be our revenue from top three customers for FY24?
Top three customers. Okay, that's a...
Maybe we'll have to check, but it may be around... Mr. Naresh will...
Yes, it's in base Sharma, it's around 60%.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kunal Ochiramani from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
So one last question from my side. When you say your partner is from Taiwan and is the best seller in the country, do you think India is comparable to Taiwan?
Why not? We never underestimate ourselves.
I need to say the condition of roads.
Condition of road, that is, as I said, that is what is to be tested, you know.
That has to go through.
But the way I think we are confident, the way the roads are improving, you know, I feel our product should test well.
Yes.
Should succeed in the test.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for such patient hearing. And well, as a closure note, I would like to say that we'll keep on working hard the way we have been doing in the past and try to show good results. That's what all I can say, because that's our job, you know, which we will like to do properly and come up to your expectations. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.